Welcome to our sermon series, Faith Over Fear. Today, we dive into the scriptures to see how we can be empowered to live by faith.
We're going to be dealing with the book of 1 Timothy. Now, what I want you to do is this. At the end of the service, when you go back home, I want you to just sit down for 30 minutes and just go through the entire book. Just read it. Don't read one chapter and go away. Just read the entire book. It will make sense, but also we'll be digging into it, the entire 6 chapters. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is rich. Your word is life. Lord, you said heaven and earth will fade away, but your word will eternally live. And to them that believed your word, signs and wonders happen to their lives. So we pray that tonight, signs and wonders will happen to us. In your name, Jesus, we pray, and every believer says, amen. Now, when you start off the book of Timothy, you realize that Paul wrote the book of Timothy. Now, many of Paul's letters, the epistles, he wrote them to churches. But Timothy was not written to a church. 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy was written to an individual called Timothy. Now, if you have read the book of Acts, you realize that Paul did 3 missionary journeys. The last two, the second missionary journey and the third missionary journey, were done with Timothy. So Timothy was like his son in faith. And some theologians believe he led him to Christ. But all we can tell is they were friends. He had mentored this young man. And when he mentored him, along the way, Paul spent 3 years in Ephesus. So when Paul spent 3 years there, he was growing the church, discipling the church, and then he had to move to Macedonia. Now, Ephesus is the current-day Western Turkey. You know where Turkey is? Yes, it is the current place we are talking about. And so Paul had to move on to do other duties. So he decides to leave the young man called Timothy to take care of the church. Now, something amazing about the church in Ephesus. One thing that is so amazing is they were loaded. Tell your neighbor, loaded. They had the what? The dimes. Come on, we call them the dimes. They had the what? The dimes. The pastors this day call them, they had the Benjamins. So they had the dimes. And because it was a good trade community, so they made a lot of money. No, excuse me. With money comes a lot of temptations. And so you'll find in the book, even Paul addressing the rich fellows that were in the church. But the main issue with the church, the Ephesian church, was this. They had false teachers that had infiltrated it. Now, I usually tell people it's another thing for someone to come from outside, but it's another thing if the false teachers are within us. Now, for Timothy, the false teachers were within the church. And this was one of the biggest churches, very influential church. The potential the church had was incredible. And so Timothy says, hey, let me write a letter to my son to instruct him on how to deal with false teachers and the rest of the challenges, the leadership challenges, the widows, and the rich people. So I want us to dig in chapter 1. Please, let's go to chapter 1. Are you there? Verse 1 says, I'll go through it quickly because there are around 20 verses. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope, to Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I urge you when I went to Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain people not to teach what? False doctrines any longer, or to devote themselves to myth and endless genealogies. Such things promote controversial speculations rather than advancing God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Some have departed from these and have turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about or what they so confidently affirm. We know that the law is good if one uses it properly. We also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for the lawbreakers and the rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers and mothers, for the murderers, for the sexually immoral, and for those practicing homosexuality, for slave traders, liars, and perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine that conforms to the gospel concerning the glory of the blessed God, which he entrusted to me. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to what? Save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus may display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now, to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Timothy, my son, I'm giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well. Tell the neighbor, fight the battle well. Which battle? Holding on to faith, a good conscience, which some have rejected and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to faith, among whom is Hananias, Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. What did he do? I love Paul. Ooh. All right, now what do we learn from the entire text? I have key thoughts that I think Paul is communicating to us, and I pray that we'll be able to dig in and just understand what Paul is talking about. Number one, Paul is telling Timothy, deal with the false teachers. The first verses, Paul is saying, deal with the false teachers. And false teachers are teachers who taught the doctrine that was different from what Paul taught. Remember, Paul had spent how many years? 3 years, making sure that the church is solid. Now, after those 3 years, he has left Timothy. Now, the false teachers have come to teach a different kind of gospel. Which kind of gospel was that? Number one, Paul tells us in verse 4, to devote themselves to what? Myth and endless genealogies. So the first was, the false teachers used to teach doctrines devoted to myth and endless genealogies. What does that mean? Now, the city, Ephesus, had a myth that the goddess Diana, they had idol worship. The goddess Diana came from heaven. And so the city used to worship that goddess. And they thought actually that goddess came from where? Heaven. That was not true. And that goddess was a goddess of fertility. Now I want you to put it together. What fertility comes from relates to sexuality, right? And that's why Paul writes and says the sexually what? Immoral. So because there was that kind of myth, it was leading away Christians from the true gospel of what God was saying. And so Paul says, hey, get away from the myth. And then genealogies. Now, genealogy simply means the Jews used to treasure where they came from. I am a Hebrew from the tribe of Benjamin. So they would give an itinerary of where they come from, their ancestry. And so what happened with the false teachers, they would esteem where you come from. So if I see Calvin, I would ask him, Calvin, in our language, we usually the language in Buganda says, Tamblangachi. You tell us. Then Calvin starts, I am Calvin Owule. I am from this clan, from this, my father is. And so people, the false teachers took that as superiority. And Paul is saying, listen, thank God that our God does not relate to us in regard from where we come from. What a gracious God we serve. I don't need to be loyalty. I am already loyalty in Jesus Christ. I don't need to act out. I don't need to say, oh, I wish I came from the lineage of the Kabaka. No, the Bible says I'm a royal priesthood. And that is the true gospel that Paul is trying to allude to. Why? Because frankly speaking, when it comes to genealogies, none of us can choose. Some are born loyal. They are the kings. I can never be the Kabaka, can I? Even if I tried. I can never. Some of you, I know, when you watch television and you see Prince Charles, you say, oh. But guess what? You cannot be him. But you know why I love the gospel? The gospel equalizes us. No matter whether you are the king, whether you are a princess, whether you are a prince, in Christ Jesus, we are all one, the same. And that's why the gospel sets us apart. Now, the false teachers used to teach, hey, esteem genealogies. Paul says, no, in Christ Jesus, we are one. So that was one of the ways. But also, verse 6 says this. They also turned to meaningless talk. That's what the Bible says. So meaningless talk was this. They had debates. They would sit down and start debating. Oh, is the Holy Spirit yellow? Is who is this? Is now the... You know, they were just in debates. Now, the challenge with these debates, Paul says, it was not building the what? The church. So they would spend endless time. And I've seen that in our city today. People take poor pictures, camera pictures, and they say that was an angel. I'm thinking, what the heck? Whether it's an angel or not, we don't worship them. We worship who? Jesus. Why are we debating about angels? Come on. The house is quiet. I know you do that. Oh, who has power? Who doesn't have power? Jesus has all the power. And that's what matters. So Paul says, hey, Timothy, be careful of these guys who are bringing in debates that are bringing more questions, more controversy, and they're not building what? Christians. And this is the challenge with such people, the false teachers, when they teach that. When there are debates, what do? Energy rises. And when energy rises, what do? Sharp words come. When sharp words come, what next? We punch each other. In where? In the church. And after fighting, you say, I'm not coming back to that church. So Paul is saying, hey, watch out these guys who bring meaningless what? Talk. The other area where the false teachers would teach, the Bible says in verse 7, they want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about. So they went back and they were teaching people to follow the law in the Old Testament. And so Paul is saying, look, guys, they're trying to teach, that he's telling Timothy, look, they're trying to teach the law, and that law, they even don't understand it. Why would Paul say that? I believe this because Paul had experienced what the law meant. In fact, if there's anyone who understood the law, Paul understood it. The Bible says he was a Pharisee. The Bible says when it came to the law, he was faultless. In fact, if you in the book of Acts, when Stephen was being stoned, the Bible tells us Paul was watching as a young man. But he realizes that the law has no power to transform his life. And so Paul lived under the law. He realized that the law cannot transform him. And so the question begs, Why the law? Simply this. The law was to point us to the one who is perfect. Jesus Christ. You know why that is great news? Because none of us can keep the law. Have you tried? I tell you, I know I should drive at 50. I know that. But you don't know how many tickets I've gotten. I know that. But something just comes. Now you're laughing at me, but you have many more tickets than me. So the idea of the false teachers taking back the church to the law, Paul is saying, no. That's not the gospel I taught. The gospel I taught, it's by what? By God's grace. Now that we know what the false teachers were teaching, genealogies, myth, following the law, endless debates and chatter, how then do you know who a false teacher is? Quickly, I just want to give you some indicators. Quickly. Why? Because in our city we have them. Leave alone our city. In our small groups, they are there. And I'll share a story about that. You're smiling. You know it. Quickly, three indicators. Number one, they teach a gospel that is centered on themselves. False teachers will always teach a gospel that is about who? Them. Listen, the gospel is not about us. It's about Jesus. The gospel is about Jesus. Anything you're preaching that is not Jesus is not gospel. Those are ideologies of men. So false teachers, they make it about them. When you hear what? Me. The second thing is, they always teach about works. Work to gain this. Work so that you can be saved. Last week I was in a funeral service and a certain denomination, and the preacher, the father there, said certain things. He said, you need to work so that it will be counted to you as your righteousness. I felt like picking the mic from him. I'm telling you. So there are people who teach that it's about works. Let me ask you a question. If it's about works, where is the fairness of God? How do you measure mine different from his? So works cannot work. But also the Bible says none of us is good. So they, when you look at what the false teachers teach, they say works. But others are smarter these days. Do you know what they do? They say, no. You're saved by grace alone in Christ. And all of us say, that is true. But along the way, they say, no. Grace is not enough. So along the path of salvation, you add on what? Works. No, the Bible says, Jesus is sufficient. Is what? Enough. We don't need to add on him. Let's thank God for that. Come on. But also the other thing they teach, some of the indicators of false teaching is they teach the whole idea, the gospel giving you license to live in sin. That's a lie from the devil. The true gospel... And I will talk about that, empowers us. It doesn't give us what? License to live in sin. And so I believe God is calling us to watch out to such guys who teach false doctrine. When I was at campus, Julius was our youth pastor then. We had planted cells, and I used to be the regional leader of those small groups. Cells are small groups. So one of those false teachers comes to one of our small groups in Africa Hall. I hope it's still there, Africa Hall. And now, these days everything has been has been sold off. So in Africa Hall in Makerere, what happens is there was a zone there. Now the leader was a lady. The zone leader was a lady. The sectional leader was a lady. The cell leaders were what? Ladies. So this false teacher used to hold, you know, they hold those intimidating Bibles, eh? those big ones. They don't read them, but they hold them. So they used to have a big Bible. So my zonal leader tells me, "Hey, Andrew, you need to come and visit us." I said, "What's the problem? There's this guy who is a headache. What's happening? He's teaching wrong doctrine and all that." He said, "What did he say?" He said, "Women cannot lead when men are around." So the entire zone was in trouble. So I decided, so I said, "What does he do? He says that, and what happens is he comes in late for the small group. So when everyone is seated, they're taking tea, they're enjoying, then he comes in with." And you know, that's how they walk. Eh? I don't know what's the problem. So he comes in the small gathering, and what happens is he zaps leadership, and he starts telling them, "Hey, ladies, no one leads when I am around." So what happened is when they called me, I said, no problem. So Wednesday I went in very early. So I sat, we prepared tea. Man, if you're not in a small group, you gotta join it. It's awesome. The tea in cell is the best. So we sat, and then we started doing our normal worship, and then we discussed life. In the middle, the guy shows up. So when he shows up, and you know how we pastors in Watoto dress, so he shows up. And by the way, he was having those long coats. I don't know what's the problem. You know, no beef, but yeah. So he comes, sits in, and he starts to take over. Guess what I did? I stopped him. And I kicked him out. I'm serious. I kicked him out. Because I told him to apologize to the beautiful young ladies in Africa. She said, "I cannot do it." I told him, "From today onwards, if I see you again, I'll shoot you." I'm kidding. But you see, that's what Paul is telling who? Timothy. He's telling him, watch out these false teachers. Deal with them. In fact, the Bible says, stop them. The second truth we see from this text is the true gospel changes lives. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, "He changed my life." Verse 12 says this: "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he has considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service, even though I was a blasphemer, a violent man, a man who used to murder people." And so Paul says that when you look at my life, I'm the least deserved to be serving God. But the day I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, my life what? Changed. In fact, Paul uses words and says, "I was the worst of these." Why? Because blaspheming was not forgiven. They will not forgive you. There's a time Jesus, the Pharisees, accused him of blaspheming, and they wanted to stone him to death. So if you blaspheme, it was not forgiven. But now Paul tells us, "Hey, look, guys, I did all those things, but thank God for his grace and mercy, I have been what? Forgiven." Why? Because the grace of God, which is the true gospel, forgives men and women and changes their lives. Let me tell you something. You cannot receive the grace of God and remain the same. You can never receive Jesus and remain the same. Paul was a murderer. Paul had killed people. Paul had empowered the law. But Paul only changed, not because of the law, because of his grace. Listen, the true gospel changes lives. But you see the unfortunate thing. The reverse is true. The false gospel never changes lives. And I tell people, if your life has not changed, you better ask yourself what gospel you have believed. The man you see here I've been saved by the grace of God. I was thrown in prison when I was in senior two. Senior two is 15 years old. We escaped from school, jumped over the walls, went to watch movies. Not in the cinema, but you know our cinemas. You know. The movie was interpreted, so it was so good. And then I was in a singles school. Now the sister, there's a school next to us, was a mixed school. They also escaped from their school with hot babes and came in the same room. We are watching movies. Now, because we are from the single school, when we saw the hot babes, what did we do? We pursued. We forgot that these girls have come with what? They are guys. The end was we had a fight. To cut the long story short, the soldiers came. I'm serious. They put Hank. They told us to remove our clothes. I couldn't believe it. And they were speaking Kiswahili, and I was the only one among the boys that who understood Kiswahili. They told the guy, "Toa viato." He said, "Toa what? What's that?" But listen. When I look at my life and those who have known my life, how broken, immoral, and far off God's grace I was, and now I'm standing before you to preach the gospel of the grace of God. Listen, the true gospel changes lives. You cannot accept Jesus and remain the same. It is absolutely impossible. It's like cooking oil and what? Water. So Paul is telling Timothy, look, this true gospel we have believed has changed my what? My life. So deal with the false teachers, because when they teach the false doctrine, it never changes what? Lives. And this is what he says. I love this statement. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to what? To save sinners. Listen, doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. If God can forgive Paul, not only forgive him, but also give him a ministry that was the greatest of the early church ministries, what about you? You may be here and you're a prostitute. You may be here and you have killed people. You may be here and you say, "I don't deserve it." You don't know how many babies I've murdered. You don't know how many men I've lied to you. I don't care. The grace of God is greater than your sin. The grace of God is greater than your sin. It is only the true gospel that changes men who are murderers into men who are serving Jesus. So listen to me. Are you struggling where you are? The world may judge you according to your past, but the grace of God picks you where you are and doesn't leave you there. It takes you to where you have never been. That's what it did with Paul. Come on, let's give him praise in the house. Lastly, Paul, in the last verses of 18 downwards, tells us actually the false gospel has negative effects. This is what he says, "My son, Timothy, my son, I am giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them you may fight the battle well, holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have what? Rejected, and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to what? Their faith." You see, at the core of the false gospel, The false gospel, the core of it is this. People lose their salvation. Because there is no other gospel apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if anyone teaches any other kind of gospel, it's not gospel at all. And so Paul writes and says, hey, Timothy, don't you see there are people in your church that have been what? Shipwrecked. There are people around that are falling off. And you see, what amazes me about Paul, he gives him examples. He says that those, like Alexander, there are those that two guys I have just thrown away to be tormented by who? By Satan. Now, at first when I read that statement, I said, Paul, weren't you very harsh? Then I changed my statement. I said, Holy Spirit, because he's the one who wrote it. I said, Holy Spirit, weren't you harsh? And this is what I got. You see, if they refuse to repent and come back to the true gospel, and you don't throw them away, what are they going to do? They're going to shipwreck others in their faith. I would rather lose two than lose multitudes. And the hope of releasing them is so that they can understand and appreciate the fellowship. And perhaps by God's grace, they will look at what they have done and the consequences thereof and come back to the fold. Listen, the reason why in my small group I had to let go of that gentleman is not because I didn't love him. It's because I loved him so much that I'm not willing for him to take another 5-10 ladies. Whenever God says such things, sometimes they are tough. But the reason is this, so that you can come to repentance. So this chapter, we have looked at profound things. Deal with the false. Come on, deal with what? The false teachers. The true gospel does what? Changes life. And lastly, it has negative what? Effects.
Thank you for listening. I hope this sets you up to choose well and excel in life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scripture and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com.